You know, what have I to dread? What have I to fear? Leaning on everlasting arms, I have blessed peace with my Lord so near. Leaning on everlasting arms. That's what got me through the last 14 months, but that blessed assurance and knowing you're trying to walk in that word, not saying I walk in it every minute, but I'm telling you, to know the truth is the peace that will keep you. Amen. And if things don't work out on this side, you got a ticket to the other side if you believe that. And I believe it. If I don't ever take that change of the body, you just don't ever say, I never believed it. I'm telling you. I believe the word is here, and that's what's going to take us there. There's nothing else new to come. It's just that we need to get settled in and try to live it and walk it. Amen. Word of good word, long preserved for our walk in this world. We resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the word of God impart words of life, words of hope. Give us strength, help us cope.
Praise the Lord. I'm just glad to be in the house of the Lord this evening. Amen. It's always wonderful to be here. And good to see each one of you here tonight. So I'm not going to sing tonight. I sang Sunday. So we're going to skip that tonight. But may sing at the end. What's that? I'll be singing this Sunday. There I tell. Yes. Yes. Well, whatever the Lord wants us to do, just as the Lord leads. If you have your Bibles tonight, we're going to go to Matthew chapter 16, and then we're going to go to 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and you'll just pray for us, and we'll be heading out for the weekend, and looking forward to being with Brother Tim and the believers there in Tennessee, and just know the Lord's touching Brother Tim, and we just believe the Lord's going to finish what he started, and we're waiting, looking for a complete healing and deliverance for our brother, and thank God that he is the healer, and no matter what all the doctors say, we've got a greater prescription. We got a greater diagnosis, prognosis than any of what the doctors can say. And thank God I got confidence in that. No matter what the doctors have to say. I was talking to somebody today and we were talking about, you know, all the medicines that people came up with you know, not COVID, but I mean, all through the years, we've had doctors and scientists come up with all these different medicines and different things like that. And next thing you know, don't take that anymore. That's dangerous. That'll kill you. But at one time, it was the greatest thing on the earth. I mean, it was the new miracle drug until they started burying people. And then it's like, stop. But let me tell you what, if you die in Jesus Christ, that'll be the best thing you ever happened in your life. And guess what? All these other people that passed away from medicine can't bring them back. But there's one thing about it. You die in Jesus Christ, you're promised a resurrection. Amen. You can't die anymore. That'll be the end of that. Amen. That's what we're waiting on. Amen. The redemption of our bodies. With the day that where this mortal put on immortality. Amen. Okay. There was an old saying one time that said, the preacher said, he said, I wish I got the same amount of attention as a wasp does in church. But it wasn't what I said. Somebody got involved with something else. Well, amen. But all things come along in their time. But praise the Lord. If you have your Bibles, before we read, let's just speak to the author before we read the scripture tonight. And just look at a few. And my title tonight, God's Building. And I just want to look at a few things tonight and maybe look at some things later on. But let's just pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord Jesus. Lord, that we're able to be in your house, Lord. Lord, together with those, Lord, of like precious faith, Lord Jesus, we're able to gather. Lord, this time's been set aside, Lord, for us to come meet with you. And Lord, we realize that this is something that we should do every day, that we should steal away and just be with you and meditate with you and communicate with you and meditate on your word. And Lord, just let you come speak to us. But now we gather as a body of believers, Lord, together. Lord, as we gather together to look unto you, Lord, we just pray that you just come. And Lord, we bring our licks of fire together, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we lift each other up, Lord, as encouragement to see each one. And Lord Jesus, to have fellowship with our brothers and sisters. We rub shoulders with the world all day long. And Lord, we battle so many things, but you know, it's wonderful to come in and gather with those warriors, Lord, that have fought. And Lord, we just think of the different ones, Lord Jesus. We've seen people that are just battle-scarred veterans that have fought and still pressing the battle. And we just draw encouragement from that, Lord Jesus. Lord, we see young people standing up and Lord, receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost and walking in the Word, Lord Jesus. And Lord, if you do it for one, we know that you can do it for others, Lord Jesus. And we believe in that. Lord, that brings encouragement to me, Lord, to see young people on fire for you, Lord Jesus, having a desire for your Word, Lord Jesus. And Lord, stir up that kind of desire in us, Lord Jesus. Lord, don't let us ever get cold or get formal, Lord Jesus. Lord, let us always have that zeal for your word. And we just pray that, Father, as we look to you, to the word tonight, Lord, we just pray that you come speak to us, Lord. Give us the words of eternal life. Lord, I just pray tonight, Lord Jesus, that as we stand here, we sit here tonight, Lord, looking unto you. Lord, I pray that you just come and speak to us. And Lord, answer our questions, Lord Jesus. Lord, give us revelation of your word, Lord Jesus. It's not me, Lord, but it's you. And we just commit ourselves into your hands tonight for your honor and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 Matthew 16, beginning at verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked the disciples, saying, who do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, others Jeremias, or one of the prophets. He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? And Simon Peter answered and said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. Amen. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning at verse 9, it says, for we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God, which is given unto me, as a wise master builder, and I have laid the foundation, another buildeth thereon. But let every man taketh heed how he buildeth thereupon. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated tonight. And I took this little thought on God's building. And, you know, there in verse 9, it says, ye are God's building. And I was speaking with Brother Aaron McGeary one time, and I know a lot of, I guess most of you probably know Brother Aaron. And I was talking to him. Brother Aaron has a real unique way of making sermon titles or a series that he's preaching on. He gives it a certain title. He always has a real unique way of titling everything. And I told him, I said, I wish I had that gift to be able to title things. And I was talking about, I'm gonna send you my sermon and my quotes and everything like that. I'm gonna get you to give me a good title for things. And but we were just kidding about that, because it really catches your attention sometimes when you're looking at some of your sermon titles. But what I was looking at, this is God's building. But you know, God's is a contraction of the word God is, and so it's God is building. So there's something taking place. But also God's building is a possessive. So it's God's building. So God is building. So God is working, building his building. So it's his creation. It's his work that he's doing, and he's doing the work. So as Paul says here in Corinthians, he said, as a wise master builder, but he said, follow me as I follow Christ. So everything that took place was Jesus Christ. So Jesus was the one that laid the foundation. But then Paul began to build upon that same foundation, because it was the same work that was continuing on, that Paul had to go to the same thing. It was Jesus Christ that was doing the work in Paul, that Paul began to preach. It wasn't some other message. He was preaching Jesus Christ. He was preaching exactly what he received from Jesus Christ. And all the way through the beginning, when you go back, and even from the very, very beginning, it's all Jesus Christ. Because when you look at, we realize that he was building a body. Well, even in the message, the masterpiece, Brother Branham's talking about the prophets built a body. Well, it was Jesus Christ in each one of those prophets that was being made manifest. So that was Jesus Christ all the way down through the ages, from the beginning, from the Garden of Eden, from what took place in the garden when the word went forth in the garden, that there was always going to be enmity between her seed and his seed and the seed of the woman, and that he would bruise his heel. But he said, but he will bruise your head. And Brother Brown said that was a type of redemption. That was a message of redemption that went forth there, because that was going to destroy the effects and the works of the enemy, of what Satan had done in the garden. But there was going to have to be a crucifixion. There would have to be a death take place. But in the grand scheme of things, because it was the most horrible death that's ever been put upon a human, but you know what? It was so minor to what was going to take place, because in the end, it would be so great above that it would just be bruising his heel. But it would be crushing his head, so it would be destroying all of the works and power of the enemy, all of the long-term effects, because we were born in sin, shaping iniquity, coming to this world speaking lies, alienated from the life of God. But you know what? You, in the end time, are him made manifest. Then what does it do? It brought us right back to the place that God always planned us for us to be. That what God always thought of you, or what was going to take place, that's who you are. Now, we've not come to the fullness of that, but you know what? Praise God, it's been written for us, because we've already received the earnest of our inheritance. But then one of these days, we're going to receive the fullness of that. So we've already come to that place. And so as we begin to see these things, that we see the working of God taking place.
Now, here in the message, I got a couple of quotes here I want to read. This is from The Statue of a Perfect Man. Brother Branham says, we're not building an organization. He said, I'm not here this morning to build an organization. Christ never sent me to build an organization. He said, Christ sent me to build individuals to the stature of Jesus Christ, that they might be the powerhouse and the dwelling place of the Spirit by His Word. By His Word, see, build up the individual to that place. Not build an organization to a greater denomination, but build the individual to sons and daughters of God. That's the idea. So we understand what we're building up is building the individual into the image of Christ, into the fullness of the image of Jesus Christ. That's what His message is to do, is exactly what the Word is to do. And here's another quote from The Statue of a Perfect Man. Brother Brent says, the Holy Ghost, Christ in the person of the Holy Ghost, comes upon you in the true baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you got all these virtues sealed in you. Then God lives in a tabernacle called the building, the living tabernacle of the living God's dwelling place. So that is what takes place. So we are the living tabernacle, because this is the building that God is building, but He's also building a body, but it starts with the individual. And when it comes from the individual, then it builds a greater body, which is the fullness. So it starts out in each individual person. And that's why it's so important for each person to come to their place, because you have a place and I have a place and everybody has a part in the body. And you have to come to that place, because we all can't be the same part and we all can't come to the same level. But God has a place for each one of us, and that we have to come to that place and be faithful to the place that God calls us. Because in the body of Christ, there's no big I's or little U's, but we all have to come to the place, because each part is important for us to come to that exact place to be who God called us to be. Amen. And everybody wants to, you know, everybody wants to be somebody else or try to do something else. Well, just be what God called you to be. You know, Brother Ram said, you know, the problem is, you know, we have these people that he was talking about, you know, playing football. And he was talking about, you know, he said, there's one man that's got to pack the ball. Everybody can't pack the ball. But you got to have somebody that knows how to pack the ball. And he said, the other people, he said, somebody's got to be the tackles. You've got to know what the tackle does, if that's your position. He said, somebody's got to be the guards. You got to know what a guard does. Because you understand that when you're doing that, there's only one person that's going to be the quarterback. There's only one quarterback, and he's got to do his job. But you know what? You got to know what your job is and where you're supposed to line up. And he said, if we all do the same, our job, we all can't do the same thing. He said, but if you guard the man that's got the ball, then he can score the ball. He can score the touchdown. But you've got to get to the place where you know what you're supposed to do. You know, because, you know, when several years ago, you know, when Adam started playing football, he got to playing football. Well, you know, you live in this tunnel vision, and you know, all you see is just this one little part, and you think, well, I'm just doing this. But you know, as time goes along, as Brother Donnie knows, Brother Wade knows, as you go along and you begin to study this more and get to playing more, and all of a sudden, then you know what? You understand what everybody else's job is too. Then you understand, because you begin to see everybody else, what they're supposed to do, because you understand if you know what this brother's doing and that brother's doing, then you know what your position is supposed to be, because you know what? You're working in harmony with them. Amen. Because you understand what everybody's supposed to do. Because if you line up and you're on the line of scrimmage and you're lining up, then you know if you're playing tackle, then you know who you're supposed to be watching out for. Because you got to watch the edge. You got to watch who the linebackers are moving or whoever is moving. You got to know what they're doing. And as soon as they shift, you got to know who your man is, because you've got to block somebody. Because you can't block somebody else's man. You got to block the person that you're supposed to be blocking. So you got to know the lineup and you got to understand the play. Because the problem is what happens is somebody gets out of position. Why? Because somebody gets confused on what they're supposed to do. And we have this great enemy, we have this great adversary, and you know what? His whole job is to get you confused and get you out of position. But you know what? If we're following the plan of God, then you know what? We don't get out of position. Then we know what our position is. And when Adam was playing football, then all of a sudden he began to understand everybody else's position. And you know, began to understand the whole thing, how it all works. You begin to see the whole plan and how everything works. And all of a sudden you understand, hey, I know what they're doing, what this person's doing. And all of a sudden you begin to understand what's going to take place before it takes place. Because you begin to understand these things. Well, it's the same thing in the Word of God, because when you begin to understand, you begin to study, as Brother Brandon was talking about, you study your adversary and you understand what his plan is, and that way you can overcome him, because you know his plan and his purpose, you know his tactics, you know how he's going to come and attack you. And he said, you know how to block yourselves from those attacks. So you've got to understand these things. So you understand the position that you're in, and if you understand those things, then you know you're further down the road. And it's the understanding what our position is, what each individual person's position is, then we can be effective in the body of Christ. That's what God wants us to be faithful in what we're supposed to do. Because you know what? You think, well, nobody's important. But you go to a football game, and you got some guy that's 5.5 foot tall, and his helmet and his shoulder pads are bigger than him, and you could just about spin his shoulder pads around him. He ain't big as nothing. But you know what? Well, he's out on the football field, and he's got enough. Because what Brother Branham said, he said it's not the size of the dog in the fight; it's the size of the fight in the dog. I played in high school as a little boy named Sean Beach. And Janae would know who he is, and he ain't big as my finger, but you know what? He had all the fight in the world in him. And I've seen people. He went down there and played safety, and he'd go down there, and I've seen him wrap around on somebody's leg and somebody dragging him down the field because he couldn't get him down. He couldn't tackle him, but you know what? He was just holding on to their leg until somebody could get there and help him. But you know what? He didn't give up. I mean, he got run over plenty of times, but you know what? It didn't stop him. Why? Because he had the determination that what he was going to do. And you think, well, some of them are not big as a minute, but you know what? When they go to kick a field goal, and you know what? The game's tied, and we're running out of time. You think, well, he ain't important. He ain't big as a minute, but you know what? Everybody's got their hopes on this little kid out here because he's going to kick a field goal. We need a field goal so we can win this game. When any other time, nobody really thinks about him. But when he gets out there, he's got to kick that field goal. Now, boy, everybody's hanging on. Come on, come on. See, everybody's important. There's a different times when God calls on you to be important. Everybody's like, well, you're not important. Well, you know what? I tell you what, I'd hate to be here tonight preaching to the walls. Yeah, right. Yeah. Right. Amen. That's right. Cool. I mean, he said, where two or three are gathered in my name, I'm there in the midst. Well, I've preached to that many. Yeah, right. Yeah. But you know what? It's better than preaching to the walls. Yeah, right. Yeah. I'd rather have one that you can talk to. And if they get behind you and they start pulling, you know what? I'd rather have one person that's in the spirit with you that's pulling than have 500 people just staring at you. But you know what? When the Lord comes down, you start preaching, and the Lord starts to move. You know what? If people say, I apologize for me yawning, going to sleep. Listen, y'all ain't bothering me. When the kids start crying, y'all ain't bothering me. I'm gonna keep on preaching, and I'll amen myself if I have to. But you know what? It's nice to have somebody behind you, and somebody encouraging you along. Yeah, it does. It's nice to have somebody sing along with you, worship the Lord. But you know, it all has to work together. We all have to work the same way. All of us have got to be moving in the same direction. And it's important to understand everybody has a position. You know, everybody says, well, you know, they're not important and you know, they really don't mean a whole lot. Well, if you don't think you're important, miss a mortgage payment. Then all of a sudden, hello. They start calling you, starting to send you emails, letters. You know, because you're important. You got money, or you should have money, and they want some. So it's everybody's important. You know, like the old saying is, you know, anybody, somebody, nobody, and everybody. Yeah, anybody could have done it. Nobody done it. And everybody thought anybody was going to do it or somebody was going to do it. Well, anybody can do it sometimes, but they're waiting on somebody else to do it. And it's like, well, you know, bless the heart, everybody. Sometimes, it's like Sister June, you know, everything. It's like, well, you know, Sister June likes to hand, you know, you only do so much, you're human. And it's like to have help to do things. And instead of waiting to have somebody, you know, ask you or get voluntold, sometimes it's nice just to be available to let people know, I'm here available. If you need something, let me know. At least, you know, it's nice to have somebody offer something to you unless you're trying to do something and you're trying to get somebody to come help you do something. Ask me how I know about that. How about working on a roof in the middle of, you know, these great big roofs up there, you're working, you're on top of something, you're trying to get somebody to come help you. It's like, I'm trying to get done before the rain. And you're on the roof and the bottom falls out, and then don't worry about it now. We're all soaking wet. Everything's wet now. Don't worry about it. You just up there, you just wait till the rain's over with, and then you just pick everything up and start again. But, you know, it's nice when you have somebody actually trying to help you get done before you know the rain's coming. You're trying to get everything done. But, you know, sometimes it's nice to have somebody, you know, offer to help you instead of you just stuck by yourself. So sometimes, you know, it's just nice just to be available. You know, sometimes it's nice to get a text message sometimes from somebody say, hey, I'm praying for you. Just thinking about you. Because sometimes you feel like you're all by yourself. But, you know, there's more with you than sometimes you don't realize there's more with you than against you. Amen. This is from the Message Fellowship. So he says, the only place that God has ever met, he's ever met man, he promised us to meet. He never promised to meet us in denominations. He never promised to meet us in any other way but through the shed blood. Israel of the Old Testament, no matter where they was, they before they worshiped God, they come to a common meeting place, which was the tabernacle in the wilderness. He said, of a man was over the top of the hill, and he wanted to fellowship with God. He come into the tabernacle in the wilderness there to meet God. So when we want to have fellowship with God, there's a place for us to come to. Because God calls us into fellowship. Because God desired to have fellowship with man, and the desire in man is to have fellowship with God. Because there's a thirst in man for him to have fellowship, and God wants to have fellowship with you. And you've got to come to that place that God has for you to come into fellowship with him. And so there's a place and a purpose for us to come to. And so when we come into that, then there's a place for us to meet, and it's under the shed blood. There's only one place that you're going to meet God, and that's under the shed blood of Jesus. And for us to meet there and to meet him on the conditions that he set forth. Because many people, they want to come in, as you know, we've said many times, everybody wants a Savior, but they don't want a Lord. But you know, there is a way that's made, and if you don't go by the way that he made, then you're not saved. As we were talking about Sunday, when the the man, the slayer, when he came into the city of refuge, when he went to that city of refuge, he had to go in. He just didn't run into the city of refuge and thought everything was okay. He had to go and plead his case before the men of the council of the city, of the elders of the city, and they had to hear his case before they would allow him to come in. And Brother Ramsey said, you know, because if that man came in and they listened to his case, and he said even though he held on to the horns of the altar, they could drag him out and murder and kill him because of what he had done. But you know, when he had to go and plead his case before the men, and when they brought him into the city, then you know what? He was protected as long as he was in that city. There was a place and a way that they had that had to come, and it was the same way. You have to come by the word because the word has been given, and you have to follow that in to come into fellowship with Jesus Christ. Because everybody thinks, well, that you know, they can just hem-haw and halfway do it. No, you have to come with a broken and a contrite spirit, to come in with a broken heart, and you have to come in and plead your case and repent. To turn away from the things that you've done before and realize that, you know, there's only one way that you've got to come, the way that God commands us to do that. You just can't come any way that you want to, you know, because as, you know, we see so many people, they come in with some kind of dry-eyed confession, you know, just shake a hand and recite something. No, there has to be repentance. There has to be something downside inside of you that wants to change. There has to be a desire inside of you to change who you are, to change and become more like Jesus and have a change in your life. Not be the same old man, just come in and just sign up for some kind of, you know, just like some kind of plan or whatever, and just go right back out and be the same person you was before. But there's got to come to something in your life where there's a change that takes place. Because many people, they just think God is just some kind of, you know, it's just like signing up for, I don't know, Costco or Sam's Club or whatever. You know, you just come in and you just pay your money and you just do whatever. Next thing you know, you're just a card-carrying Christian. And you just come in one way and go out the same way and not had any kind of change. But the thing is if you're going to have a fellowship with Jesus Christ and have a relationship with Jesus Christ, then you've got to have a change in your life, that you're going to start walking closer to Him so that He draws closer to you. Because many people, they just want to have the title of being a Christian, or just saying I believe. But you know, what do you believe? What is it that you actually believe? Because everybody says, well, you know, God is love, and I just love everybody, and you know, I just tote my Bible around, and the app is on my phone, and I just carry it around, and I just talk about these type things. But what kind of change is actually taking place in your life? What does the Bible actually say? Because is this the Word of God? Or is it just some man-made written book that everybody's carried and argue about? And you know, we've got 900 different versions of the Bible, and everybody, you can, whatever you believe in, you can find a version of the Bible that'll back it up, and you can be whatever you want to be. Or is there some kind of change that God, or actually from God from heaven, come down through men that were anointed of the Holy Ghost and began to write these things, and God watched over it and protected it all the way to this day, and it's the very mind of God in letter form to us that we can read it and understand God? Because if it was the same, because if this was what God wrote in the beginning, it's the same thing today. Because you know what? It'll do the same thing that it did back then. Because if it delivered them back there, then it'll deliver us today. Because if it set things in motion today, those laws are still in position today. They're still in force today, and it'll do the exact same thing it did back then. Because if it's the same Word of God that came and spoke, that the Holy Ghost come and quicken on the day of Pentecost, it'll do the exact same thing today. It'll quicken in your life, and it'll change you just like it did them. And if it's the same Word of God that spoke and put the words that came out of His mouth and spoke everything into existence that we see today, it'll change your life and make you more like Jesus Christ. Not just some kind of idea, but it'll change who you are. It'll change you from the old man into a new creature in Christ Jesus. Because one of these days, you know, when you become a Christian and you begin to walk and you change from the old man and the old ideas, and all of a sudden you begin to look in your life, I don't know about the rest of you. I was surprised sometimes because you know what? I realized, you know, I fought and I failed and I had problems. But you know what? I realized I overcame. And I realized it wasn't Aaron Roberts that was overcoming. It was Jesus Christ that in me that overcame. Why? Because it was Him working through me that I could overcome. It wasn't me. Then you can show that to the world. It's not some make-believe or some put-on. It's something on the inside that you can't hide. Because if we are the light of the world, if He is the light of the world, and we are the light of the world, He said that a city set on a hill cannot be hid. Because if it's something out on the inside of you, you can't hide it. It's going to come out. It's just like trying to change who you are. You know, I'm over 6 foot tall. I'm over 250 pounds. I got thinning hair. I'm white. Sometimes I get dark. People think I'm part Mexican or something. Well, you get outside and you work in the sun all the time. You get dark and everybody thinks he's like, man, you're awful dark. I was like, well, let me show you. There's some white up here too. I got that farmer's tan. But you know what? That's who I am. You know, it's not like, you know, I wake up one morning, I'm 6 foot two this morning, 5'11 tomorrow, 7 foot the next day. I'm the same person. Every single day, I'm the same. I get up, I'm the same person. Well, I could go and, you know, I can have all kinds of work done. And, you know, I can be slim and, you know, I can get hair and all these type things. I can get contacts, change my eye color. But you know what? It wouldn't change who I am. Because as soon as you take those out and do all this stuff, you know what? I'm still the same person. You know, everybody wants to change who they are. You can't change who you are. You're the same person. You know, everybody's like, well, you know, you can, boys can be girls and girls can be boys and all these type things. You can be whoever you want to. And, you know, people have spent hundreds and thousands of dollars to be Barbie and all of these other people. And they've tried to turn themselves into lizards and all kinds of weird looking things. I mean, y'all have seen them. I mean, people come out there and they got all these tattoos all over them, look like a tackle box exploded in front of them. They got all these piercings and everything, and they have all this stuff, and they're trying to change who they are. But you know what? It never changes who they are. You're still the same person. All this stuff takes place, and they spent all this time, and you know, you're the same person. You're still who you are. You've done all these things, and you hadn't changed yourself one bit. Because you know what? All that's still going back to the ground. There's one day that they're going to put this flesh in the ground. And you know what? You're going to stand before God and give an account of who you are. You're not going to hide yourself. There's no plan B. Because you know what? We're either going to meet God now and go by His plan and His purpose, and we're going to get under the shed blood of Jesus Christ, and it's going to change who we are, and we're going to bypass death, or we're going to have to go and stand before the white throne and give an account for what we've done in this body. You're not going to change who you are. There's no plan B. You ain't got some get-out-of-jail-free card. Why? Because what's taking place is we're going to face this. And you tell people, listen, you're not going to get it. There's no second chance. Now's the day of salvation. If we're going to get right, now's the time to get right with God. You're not going to have, because we're not promised tomorrow. We're not promised the rest of tonight. We don't know when our number's called. But you know, we know that there's time, there's going to be a time that's going to, God's going to call us. And you got to be ready. Amen. See, it's so important to know what God has called us for. Amen. And that's what, and we are to show this to the world. Amen. Right. There is a way of escape. Amen. He's here. I don't want people to see Aaron Roberts. I want people to see Jesus Christ. I want the world to know that there's a risen Savior. He's alive. And he's living in humans. He's taken up residence, and we are the living Word made manifest. And you can receive him just the same. Is that right? If there's nothing else that we can do, brother said nothing else but lost souls. The greatest thing is lost souls. That's our greatest desire in this world is to see people receive salvation, to know who Jesus Christ is. Not just all these other things. And it's not just a hope so or a maybe so. But to have a sure assurance of a solid foundation of knowing who you are. That there's nothing that's going to shake you from that. Amen. Because you know what? I see so many people that they just go along, and you see people that you've known for many years, and you've seen people that have walked in, and, you know, they've been all around this message and packed Bibles and message books and everything like that. And you know what? And now, you know, you see their lives. I mean, they're getting ready to blow hell wide open. And you stand there and look at them, and you know, and you try to talk to them, and you know what? You talk to them, and they know the truth. They know what the truth is, and they've turned it down. And somebody's come along and sold them a boatload of lies, and they think, well, you know, God is love, and they're going, no. You know what the truth is. You know what? When you didn't know truth. Well, you didn't know what the Bible said. You know what? There people have a God winks at people's ignorance because they don't know things. God holds them accountable for what they know. But when you know the truth and you've turned it down, then what else do you have? God's not going to wink at your ignorance. He's not going to wink at my ignorance. He's not going to turn a blind eye to it. We don't know when all these things are going to take place, but we realize that, you know what? We see the time and the signs of the world that's going on right now. We don't know, but you know, we're promised that this is going to that God's going to come back for a bride that's ready before all these things take place. We don't know what tomorrow is going to hold, but let me tell you what, we know who holds tomorrow. We don't get a second chance. Today's the day of salvation. You know, we want to share it with everybody. We want everybody to get right. I want to be right. Lord, help me. I preach on myself. I realize sometimes I'm a poor excuse, you know, for things. And, you know, and it's like, Lord, I want to be better. You know, I don't want to go around pointing fingers at everybody else. I got more pointing at me. And maybe the reason why people don't see Jesus Christ is because he's not in me like he ought to be, because I don't display him in my life like I ought to. Maybe because I'm too lax. Maybe because if I was on fire and I had more zeal, maybe people would see Jesus Christ in me. Maybe because I allow things to in my life to slide. And I don't hold, and you know, because I'm not where I ought to be. And everybody thinks, well, you know, we could just get up and preach on everybody else. You know what? We preachers preach messages, and people don't realize, you know, you go home and battle these things out on your own. You preach the word, and you go home, and the preachers will tell you, you go home, and you know what? The devil, he'll fight you over all this. And everybody thinks, you don't, people don't realize the sacrifices that preachers have. The devil will fight you all day long over this. That's the reason, you know, just like Pop used to say all the time about, you know, quit preaching every once in a while, once in the morning, a while in the afternoon. Why? Because you battle these things. But thank God he gives us something on the inside of us to overcome these things. Amen. I don't know why I got into all that tonight, but I'm just loaded up this afternoon. But you know, you see things that happen, and I want people to see Jesus Christ. When you talk to people, and you know, I mean, you know, when you've talked to somebody in your life and you begin to share with them, and you know that God's talked to them. And it's on, you can feel the presence of God standing between you and that person, and you know God spoke to them, and you're speaking right to their heart, and you're speaking right to their situation, and you know God's dealing with them, and they just turn around and walk away. It's hard. And I just stand there and realize, you know, I was the same way. God's crossed my path many times. He come and spoke to me. He told, you know, there were people that come and spoke to me. And you know what? I just went right back into the world, done my same old thing. Just couldn't wait to get away from that, the Spirit of God to go right back. But you know what? It was the goodness of God. He kept calling. He kept drawing. He kept calling our names, and he kept after us. We tried to run, and you know what? He chased us down. And he got us to the place where, you know what? That we surrendered to him. So you know what? We still pray for everybody. Our families. Because we still hold to the word, because the word will not change. Amen. But here, when we come into this fellowship with God and we come into this tabernacle in the wilderness, he was talking about the tabernacle. And here, Brother Branham speaking in the message dedication, he's speaking of Solomon. He said, Solomon never varied one bit from the pattern that God saw on Mount Sinai in heaven. Moses, when he returned from his vision, pitched the tent and made it just exactly like he saw it in heaven. See, Solomon built the temple. It was just exactly, he had seen the pattern, the type. Moses pitched the tent for a perpetual type because it just moved from place to place. But Solomon, he made the tabernacle just exactly in the fashion that Moses had seen in heaven. It was all put together, set in order, just exactly. Brother Bram says, what a spiritual application we could apply here, that we are never to leave the Scripture. Stay exactly with the pattern. That's the reason I believe that the way the first church was patterned, that's the way the next one should be patterned. That's the way everyone should be patterned, just the way it was at the beginning. I believe that God has it that way. I believe the real church. So we understand that when we see that the pattern that was in the Scripture is what we continue to follow. Because even the type that was shown, and I thought that was so amazing. Here's Moses seeing this vision of the tabernacle. And he came down and he put it in the tabernacle. But the fullness of that was when Solomon built the temple, and it had all the parts, and it's exactly the same vision that he had, that Moses had, and God put in the temple. Here Solomon built the temple, and it was exactly the same vision, and everything was there. And what did it express? It expressed Jesus Christ. And here's when, you know, you think of Moses. Here's Moses when he's out, and you know, he's always been taught that he's going to be the deliverer. And he's always been through all of this, that he's going to be the deliverer of the people. And here he's coming through all of these things. And then, you know, all the things that happened, he's like, well, why did these things happen in my life? Why am I run away from Egypt and all these things? And I was supposed to be a deliverer. I'm nothing but a failure. and he's on the backside of the desert raising sheep, and everything's all falling apart, and there's nothing that's good, and he can't see anything. But you know what? In the time, because he didn't realize what God's plan was, but when in the right time, and when he got to the right place, then all of a sudden, the Bible says the angel of the Lord came down and was standing there in the burning bush, and he said when he saw that, and he says then when he saw the burning bush in there, then he said, I will turn aside and see why this bush burns. And so he turned, he said, I'm going to understand why this is going on. And when he walked into the presence of that burning bush to understand it, then God began to speak to him and tell him, listen, now I've heard the cry of my people. You are the deliverer, and you've come to the place now that you can be the deliverer. Now you've come into the place that all these things have taken place in your life, but now you've come to the place that you can be, because 40 years of Egypt being taught into you and 40 years of it being beat out of you and all of the problems and all the stresses and all the things that you've been through. But you know, now you've been molded into the place that you can fulfill the word of God. When he thought that there was no ways, how in all this is going to take place? Well, now you've come to the place that you can do these things. See? When all these things took place, you know, Moses was this man. He was a great man of learning and all these things. But you know, he didn't build that tabernacle all by himself. You know, there were men that were raised up that knew what they were doing to put all these things together. God gave Moses the vision of what to do, and when he caught that vision and he began to tell them of what was going to take place, well, then you know what? They were men there that knew how to build that thing. There were other men. They knew how to work with gold and all those things, and knew how to do all of the cloth and, you know, all of the dyes and all that, how to make all those things and, you know, all those wood carvers and all those things like that knew how to do all that. Moses went out there every day with a hammer and nails and trying to put everything together and trying to smelter all that gold or whatever. They were men that knew how to do that. All he had to do was give them the word. And everything else came together. But he had the vision to take place. And what was it? When David had the desire to build God a house, then he said, you won't do it. He said, but your son will do it. He gave the vision to Solomon to do that. And when he began to do that, what did David do? Well, David just didn't get all upset. Well, God, I want to build this thing. What did David do? He started getting all of the materials together. He's like, I can't build this, but you know what? My son's going to build this tabernacle. But he said, what did I begin to do? He said, I began to get all of the parts together, all the materials, everything that was going to be needed from all around the world. And people, when people realized all around the world, the scripture says that all of a sudden people began to send Solomon things to build the temple. All the things that he had need of began to come to there. And what did Brother Branham said? Well, the scripture tell us that all of that when he began to put the tabernacle together, the temple together, all of those parts, and everything was right there. And he said, you know what? They never heard the sound of a hammer. They never heard a saw. They never had anything like that. Why? Because everything that was there began to fit together just perfectly. And as they began to fit together just perfectly, they had the mind and the vision of God, and it became to fruition right in front of them. And it wasn't a little bit where, you know, somebody had to pull out any sandpaper, Brother Gary, and had to do a little bit of this or a little bit of that. Why? Because it was the mind of God, and it was the word of God, and it came together just perfectly, and he's exactly what God said. Well, if it could be that same way back there in the natural, then how much more today in the spiritual? That you don't have, it's not you trying to do something, but if you allow him to do the work in you, then you know what? It's not us trying to do something, but it will fit perfectly together if we follow the plan of God. There's a blueprint for us to follow, and if we will follow that, then God will build exactly what he wants. Brother Branham says here in blasphemous names, I think this is it. Blasphemous names here. He says, God is building in seven church ages a bride for Christ. He's talking about through the church ages and all that. See, seventh age. He said, he has built a bride, all through the ages, he has built a bride, born a bride, begotten a bride on earth for Christ. And the same way that he begets this bride, he begot individuals. So each one of us is the same way that he's doing a work in us. And it's a marvelous work that he's doing in us, but it's a miraculous work that he's doing in us. Because if you want to see a miracle, you're looking at it. Because you know what? Each one of us is a miracle, because it's a miracle, the work that God's done in us. Amen. We are a miracle because God's doing the work. Because you know what? You could never change yourself the way that you've been changed. No matter how much you wanted to be changed, you couldn't say that what took place in your life. Because you know what? A lot of people has overcome a lot of things in their lives that there's absolutely no way that you could have done it yourself. And there's not enough self-help books. There's not enough meditation. There's not a lot of all these type of things. Everybody wants to pray and try to do things. But you know what? It takes yielding to the Holy Spirit. And everybody wants these things to take place. But you know what? It takes place in God's time. If we allow him to do the work, then it'll take place. He says, now, see, we are building. He said, we are building a building, not a wall. He said, the builders want to take a line of blocks and just go straight down. Now, any builder can do that, can build that, but it takes a real master mechanic to turn a corner. And, you know, most people read that. It's like, why did Brother Brandon call it a mechanic? Ain't that somebody that works on cars? Actually, if you look up the word mechanic in the ancient meaning, is to be a skilled tradesman. So he's actually right. It's amazing when you do a little studying on these things. Actually, Brother Bram's smarter than you think he is. But you know, other people, you know, they think, well, that's a weird word to use. Well, actually it's the right word. See, it takes a real master mechanic to turn a corner. See, when you got to the corner, it takes time. That's the time it takes. It shows where you're really a stonemason or not. When you can turn the corner with it and keep the continuity of the rest of the building, but the corner, now, it's on these corners is when trouble comes. The builders want to keep building down. We're not building a wall, but we're building a building. And Brother Branham also, he was talking about that we are starting a foundation. So when you start this building, he said, we're building a building. Well, the first thing you start with is the foundation. And that's exactly where Paul said. He said, I'm a wise master builder. He said, there's only one foundation laid, and that's Jesus Christ. And it's exactly what Paul said, or Peter, when Peter was there, and when Jesus asked him, who do men say that I am? He said, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. He said, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. And he said, upon this rock, this revelation, I'll build my church. So the foundation was the rock. And so he said, we start on that rock. And he said, that's the foundation. He said, upon this rock, he said, I'll build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. So here we are, we're building this building. It's a building of Jesus Christ. We're not building just a wall, but we're building a building. And Brother Bram talks about, we won't get to it tonight, but Brother Bram talks about the junctions of time. There's different junctions in time in the Scripture. And he said when they come to those times, say you just couldn't continue on, there had to come a time where they had to turn. And even when he was talking, Brother Brandon was talking about even in Luther and Wesley's message, there come a time they only went so far and they had to turn the corner, because there was a time because the dispensations were changing and they were turning the corner and they had to turn. And so you see people like Brother Brandon was talking about, the people that were in Luther's day, they were under that Lutheran message, but they came to a certain time, and you know what? They caught the message of sanctification. Why? Because they were under that age, but all of a sudden now when the message of sanctification came, when Wesley began to preach his message, they caught that under that time, and they began to turn the corner. Why? Because it wasn't the messenger that's turned it. Because we won't get to it tonight. But you know, when you realize it's not Brother Branham that's come to bring a message that's making the turn. It's Jesus Christ. He's the one that makes the turn. He was speaking through Brother Branham, but Brother Branham wasn't the one that done it. It was Jesus Christ. It was Jesus Christ all the way down through seven church ages that began to bring the message for the word to turn. All the way down through history, even through the Old Testament, when those junctions of time came, it was the Holy Spirit leading those men to make those turns. See, we got to keep the continuity. This is from Time-Tested Memorials of God. He said, God's building a church as a memorial of his sacrifice. Christ never came to earth to die in vain. His death will not be in vain. God's able of these stones to rise children to Abraham. He said, if people won't live in it, they don't take it in under consideration and realize what a great gift that God's given them. God's able of the stones to rise children to Abraham. Truly, he will do it. He said, when I think of that and think of the great price that he had to pay, he said, everybody wants everything free. Wants everything. He said, that's the American way of life today. That's amazing. Get everything you can for nothing. I've never seen it as it is today where everybody wants everything for free. They don't want to work for nothing. They expect everything's owed to them. Amen. Brother, you get nothing that's worth anything for nothing. You pay for what you get, that's right. You have to pay for it, and it comes dear. And your salvation comes dear to God. It costs his only begotten son to give eternal life to every man and make him happy tonight and live for things that's worth living for. Not for to leave something to our children. No inheritance can be left greater than the salvation of our Lord Jesus. See, that is what God wants us to do. See, to understand this is a great sacrifice, and you and I are the memorial of the sacrifice that he made. Amen. We are trophies of his grace. So one of the things that he done is we are that memorial of that to show the people this is what Jesus died for. It wasn't, you know, Jesus just didn't come on the earth to die to, you know, hoping somebody would be, that somebody else would be saved, you know, that somebody would feel sorry for him. No, he came to redeem his own because he had you in his mind from the foundation of the world. You were a part of him, and he came back to redeem you back to the place. He didn't come to give you an inheritance. He came to redeem you back to your inheritance. He came to redeem you to that. And you understand that when you realize the great sacrifice that he made for you and I, to bring us to where we are today and who we are today, you realize that the great sacrifice that was made, that you know what? There's nothing that we can do in this life that's too hard or too great. What does the scripture tell us? That we are to be living sacrifices, holy and acceptable God, which is our reasonable service, which is our basic bottom level service. Why? Because we're not of our own. We belong to him. It's no longer I that live now, but Christ that lives within me. As Paul said, he said, now I'm a prisoner of Jesus Christ. I don't have my own thoughts. I don't have my own ways. I belong to him. Here, this is from the message, United under one head. Brother Bram says, see, one thing to serve him, one love, the love of God, one brotherhood of man, one fellowship of the Holy Ghost, then we're united. He said, that's where God is building this to this day. Regardless of what the devil does, he's building a tower, and that tower is made up of the united people. From Methodist, Baptist, Presbyterian, all these people. But you know what? Each one of them have received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. He's called people out from every walk of life to bring them into this, and we are those people that are reunited under one head, under one fellowship. And he's building a tower. He's building a building. He's building a church. He's building a tower. What does the scripture say? The name of the Lord is a strong tower the righteous run into and are safe. See, God is building up a group. And you know what? As he was talking about, when you see that city set on a hill, the light of the world, well, if you build a tower, you know, you can't hide a tower. You can see a long way off. It's not something that you're going to hide. Well, you know, this word that came in our day was not something that was, you know, some kind of man-made something. The message that God brought from the beginning, what Paul brought, it was no private interpretation. Brother Branham said he'd practically been around the world 7 times. There's lots of people that may not have heard this message, but there's plenty of people that have. This message went all around the world. And you know, the thing is God's only responsible to show you one thing. God's not responsible for us to know everything. There's people out there, and the only thing that God's ever showed them was water baptism in Jesus' name. And you know what? And they know that God came down and spoke to them. And you know what? They turned around. Just like those 300 men that came, those 300 preachers came, and Brother Brown walked up there with his Bible and said, come and show me where I'm wrong, where baptism is wrong, where the oneness of the Godhead is wrong. All them Trinitarians, come up here and show me. Bring your Bible up here and tell me. Oh, nobody wanted, no one to challenge him. But you know, one of those 300 was supposed to come get baptized, and not a single one of them came. Not a single one of them followed through with that. Oh, they might have had great churches. They might have built great names to themselves. But you know what? They're going to give an account. One day they'll have to give an account for that. What does it matter if a man gains the whole world and loses his own soul? If you gained everything and you lose the most precious thing. Oh, you can build a lot of things, but you know what? It eternity is going to be something wonderful. Amen. When you have eternal life and all the former things have passed away, and you know what? There's going to be a day when the devil and all of his angels are going to be done away with. Amen. There won't be any more remembrance of them. All of that's going to be passed away. Amen. And you know what? We won't ever have to worry about you. What the scripture say? You know, one of these days we're going to remember our overcoming. We're going to know all the things that we're going to know where we came from and realize where God brought us to. When you realize that all the things that you've battled, and you know what? You're not going to remember all your faults and failures. All the things that you've done wrong. But you're going to remember one of these days you fought some battles. And you know, you overcame. You overcame by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. God gave you a testimony. You went through some tests and trials and you overcame, and you're going to stand up and say, you know what? We wouldn't be here if you hadn't came. If he hadn't come on our side and delivered us from those things and was in us and through us, through him, we overcame because he was in us. It's going to be a wonderful thing. And you know, you think about that. No more heartache, no more pain, no more diseases, no more Mondays, no more taxes. There's going to be a great time. And all the things that God has promised us. And you don't realize, well, we're one of these days, Brother Ryan, we're coming to that. You know what? We're already partakers of that. It's already our inheritance. Yes, sir. That's right. It already belongs to us. Amen. Amen. How many believe that tonight? Yeah. Amen. God bless you tonight. Let's all stand. We'll have the musicians come. Brother Bram, I'm going to read this last quote. This is united under one head. He says, sons and daughters of God. He said, we are united then as one. We won't fuss no more then. We won't argue no more. He said, we'll act like men. We'll dress like men. We'll dress like women, sons and daughters of God. Our character, our conduct, our faith will prove. When God says anything, we'll say amen to it. That's hard sometimes. When God tells us things and we don't, and it's like, well, I don't know. It's hard to step out on faith sometimes when things are hard. I'm sorry. I didn't realize I was the only person that faced that. But y'all pray for me. I have problems with that sometimes. I don't, you know. But if the Bible says for us to do certain things, we'll do it. He said, we won't argue back. We'll just go and do it. That's what God wants us united under. Oh, how we ought to act in this present day. Amen.
Amen.
God help me, because, you know, I don't want... I argue back sometimes. I'm free to admit it. God gives you thoughts and things, and it's like, Lord, are you sure? Are you really sure? Yeah. You know, I'll never forget. I was here, and Brother Danny already had he had his accident. He was sitting over here in the chair, and the Lord just I couldn't breathe. And, you know, I said, we just need to pray for Brother Danny. And I didn't know what was going on or why. I just got up. We all need to pray for Brother Danny. And I didn't know after we'd come over and prayed for Brother Danny, Brother Dale got up and said, you know, he said the Lord had laid that on him. And he said, I kept praying, Lord, put that on somebody else and let them do that. And I stood there and I was thinking, Lord, why did you put that on me? But you know, it's not for us to ask why. It's like, well, there's lots of other brothers that could have done it. But you know what? God didn't ask anybody else. I still remember the day that Brother Harold Hildebrandt came and preached here that Sunday. And he had preached in Ruth that week and come down here and preached, and his voice was gone. And he had preached that Sunday morning and was standing right, he was sitting right here on the front row, and I was sitting on the front row. And the Lord told me to pray for him. And, you know, Brother Dale was up here at the end of the service, was talking and all. And I should have laid hands on him. We should have stopped the service and prayed for Brother Hildebrandt right then, and I didn't. And, you know, I was like, you know, should somebody else do all this, you know? And, you know, I was standing right next to him, and I was just, oh. And, but the Lord just, it was just on my heart so hard and so heavy. And he came up the second service, it was 2 o'clock service, he came out, and he could barely whisper. And I felt like just getting in the floor. And I was like, well, you know, maybe the reason that Brother Hildebrandt came out here and struggled that second service is because I didn't do what God wanted us to do. And it's like, maybe, you know, and he was up here trying to struggle that whole second service trying to preach. And it was like, you know what? Maybe I'm the reason why he's struggling so hard is because I didn't follow through. And it's like, well, you know, if God ever lays something on your heart, Brother Brown said, if he lays it on your heart, he said, check it by the word. Well, what did he want us to do? Well, you know what? Brother Branham said that it didn't take anybody. He said any believer can lay hands on the sick. He said, they shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. He said, that's to every born-again believer. It's not you know, to this person or that person, or we're waiting on the deacons or the elders or whatever. No, if you're a born-again believer, you can pray for them. Then it's, you know, it's a, well, we don't need to try to question these things. Don't argue back what he said. We just do it. And you know, ever since then, I've been real careful about, if God tells me to do something, you know, I've always been prayerful about things. But you know, I've always, people say, why'd you do that? Or why'd you, it's like, you know, because if God tells me to do something, you know, I'm going to do it. I don't want to have to go through that again. And you know, just like Brother Branham talked about, when God told him to go out to the Pentecostals, it cost him dearly. You know, Sister Hope was laying there dying, and he said, and she told Brother Branham, said, "You know where we made our mistake? We didn't listen to what God told us to do." When God told you to go out to the Pentecostals and preach, he was too worried about what other people thought about what they were going to say, because his mother-in-law called him a bunch of trash and all that. Just because she didn't agree with it, that didn't matter. God spoke to him and told him to go. He said, well, I'm too young, or I'm a sister or whatever. You know what? Check it by the scripture. Sometimes we allow the devil to hold us back. We want this church to advance. We want this church to go on. We want this church to be victorious. Well, you know what? If God's called you to do something, that's what you need to do. Because we're building a body, and everybody's important, and you have to do your part. Like Brother Donnie's talking about, you know, these brothers work on cars. Well, you know what? It's great to have a car. And man, you can have the greatest engine in that thing, have the greatest transmission, greatest rear end in that thing. That thing can go 180 miles an hour. You can go so fast the front wheels will come off the ground. You can leave black marks all over the place. Be the greatest paint job you ever seen. Don't work on the brakes. See where you get to. Every part's important. Maybe your only part is to be here and show up and say amen. Maybe you ought to have a prayer closet. What did Brother Branham say? The success of his meetings was they were people. Wasn't what Brother Branham up here and God doing discernment and everything? There's a lot of people that in the background spent all day on their face praying. Maybe that's what we need to do. Amen. Don't think that your part is little. Everybody's important. And he said, you know, we're to find a pastor and get behind him. Well, there's a lot of people, their whole problem is they ain't never had a pastor. And that's their whole problem, is because they've never got under the headship of the Word. And everybody, well, you know what? I'm going to say this, and I've said it many times. I'm going to say it again. I'll probably say it later on in the future. But you know what? You don't understand what a pastor goes through. I don't know what God told Brother Wade about anything. And everyone's like, well, why did Brother Wade do this? Why did he do that? You know what? Because you know what? You wasn't between God and Brother Wade and whatever God was telling Brother Wade to do. Maybe that's the reason he done it that way. Maybe what you need to do, what I need to do, is pray that God speaks to him, that he can follow through with it. And maybe we need to get behind him and say, yes, Lord, speak to him. And maybe sometimes when he's speaking to you, then maybe he'll come speak to me and say, that's exactly what needs to be done. And all you need to do is be ready to pack the ball, or protect him, guard him, so he can pack the ball. We need to do our part. Because many times everybody, you know, why did that take place? But you know, when you start doubting the Word, and I'm going to quit here in a minute, I promise. But you know, those people, Elisha and those children, Brother Branham said those children were down there and they heard their parents talking about Elisha, the prophet of God. And you know what? Well, they didn't come right out. I don't think they just came straight out one day and everybody just bashed Elisha. You know what I think what happened? They started, well, you know what? He done this and he done that, and they started out with this. Well, you know what? The next person, well, they add on to it. Well, the next time somebody else says something, and then it's just like we're playing a game of telephone. You tell the next person, that person tells somebody else, and they all get to talking about it. It starts out with two or three people. Next thing, it's 25. Next, half the town's talking about it. Then what was it? They're all sitting around at home because, you know what? One person says it, and instead of stopping it, the next person keeps adding on to it. And the next person carries it on. What did Brother Ram talk about? Gossip? Hey, you might hear it, and that's where it needs to stop. And tell people, listen, I'm not listening to that. But the problem is it went in somebody's mind, got to rattling around, and it came out their mouth. And then it went to the next person, and it went to the next person. Well, next thing you know, what was they? They were at home, and what exactly happened? Those kids were at home, and mom and daddy was running down the prophet. And all of that disrespect that they had for the prophet ended up in the mouth of those little kids. And all of a sudden, yeah, it ends up in, exactly, it's in the kids. Brother Bram said it's not juvenile delinquency, it's parent delinquency. But what happened was those 42 children got killed. And what was it? It was because of the way they were raised. And so I'm gonna finish on that. But God bless you. I love each one of you. And y'all pray for me. We all got battles to fight. And some of them are bigger than others. Because mine's over 250 pounds, and that's bigger than a lot of y'all. Our greatest enemy is ourselves. Amen. Mine's bigger than the rest of y'all. Just like Pop used to say, it's going to take more rapturing faith for me than for the rest of you because I'm bigger. So I've got more to overcome. But you know what? Greater is he that's in us than is he that's in the world. Amen. God bless you tonight, Brother Boyd.
There is a name I love to hear. I love to sing its word. It sounds like music in my ears, the sweetest name on earth. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me, it tells me of a Savior's love who died to set me free. It tells me of his precious blood, the sinner's perfect plea. Yes, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells me what my Father has in store for every day. And though I tread a darksome path, he'll sunshine all the way. Yes, oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Oh, how I love Jesus. Because he first loved me. It tells of one whose loving heart
Brother Wade, you have anything? Amen. Two services Sunday. All right. Lord bless each one of you tonight. Before we go, let's just bow our heads. We're going to be dismissed in a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this night, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for stirring our hearts tonight, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, speaking to stir up that in a spirit of remembrance, Lord Jesus. Stir up our minds, Lord Jesus, Lord, of what we need to do, Lord. Lord, let us not be lax or anything, Lord Jesus, but always looking and watching, Lord Jesus. Lord, the fight is on, and let us always be ready to go, Lord Jesus. Lord, our adversary is always on the move, Lord Jesus. Lord, but we're ready to fight, Lord Jesus. We're ready to do what you'd have us to do, Lord Jesus. Father, we thank you for the word that you've sent to us, Lord, to bring us into this place, Lord. Lord, we realize that we could not be where we are tonight if it wasn't for you. Lord, we realize we're not where we ought to be, but Father, we're not where we used to be, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you that you've brought us this far. Lord, we know that you've started a work in us, and we know that you will finish it. And Father, we thank you for that, Lord, for each one that has a need, Lord, for those that are sick and not here with us tonight, Lord. Father, I pray that you to continue to touch them and minister in a special way to them, Lord Jesus. Lord, we just pray that you bless the service this Sunday, Lord, as we're traveling, Lord, the other ones that will be traveling, Lord Jesus. We just pray that you be with them, Father. Lord, we just commit each one into your hands and just bring us back at the appointed time. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you tonight. You're dismissed. I rejoice.